Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 13th, episode 656, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse people.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Yay, happy Monday. Who's excited it's Monday? Yay. I'm back, you guys. Thank you for holding down the fort on Friday, Glenn. I was telling your wife about this, and she said, you just decided to go do your course walk ahead of time. And that's pretty much what I did. I guess I'll just tell everybody, we thought we were going to have a baby this weekend, which is a little bit too early, and just to let you guys know, I started having 15 hours of contractions and 15 hours of pre-labor, and get to the hospital. They're like, yeah, we need to either stop this or let's go. And this stopping it was, we're going to give you a shot and you're going to go to sleep for 8 hours and it's going to be great for you. And you'll wake up and the contractions will be slowed down. Or we can give you a shot now. It's going to make you really jittery. You're going to have to walk around the hospital for the next 2 hours, and maybe we'll have a baby. I'll take the first one.
Yeah. My guess is you took sleep.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, I've been up for, it started Thursday night, and we went to the hospital Friday morning and been up all night, Chad, and I've been timing contractions and just getting everything done. So you were supposed to do packing and getting everything ready for the baby, all this stuff, while having contractions. They started about 10 minutes apart, and they got all the way down to 6 minutes apart. Called my doctor Friday morning. She's like, let's go to the hospital. And so after that kind of night, when somebody offers you, you know what, he really needs to cook about another week or two. And we can do that by giving you this shot of Demerol and this other stuff that'll make you sleep and you'll feel way better when you wake up. Yeah, that's the option. That's the only choice. So it was a little dramatic and a little whatever, but he's still cooking. And I guess by this coming Tuesday, he'll be full term. So if it were to happen again, we would be able to have him. It just was a little bit riskier. You know, when they offer you something like that and they say, but we'll have to stay here for about 48 hours and the ICU, and all, you don't want to see that. So I said, let's just keep going with it and see. Even though I am god-awful miserable being pregnant, and this is awful, and I want to go on a ride. I want to ride so bad I can't stand it. And
you got a few more weeks for that.
Yeah, but this is the one thing, they were like, well, with your due date is June 5th, he would be about a month early. And I told Chad, I'm like, Chad, I could ride a month early and I might be ready for the Coconino horse trials in July. And he's like, what is wrong with you?
Good husband.
As it is now, I'm only going to have a month if he's born on my due date, but this way I'd have 2 months to get ready, so a month to not ride afterwards, and a month to get jet ready for a training back at Coconino. I'm like, it'd be perfect. You're delusional. So,
And none of that's going to happen because he's going to tie you up and lock you in the house.
Apparently he won't need to, I guess, from what I hear from everybody. It's just awful anyway. You're tired all the time, and you got this baby wanting to feed all the time. And it's going to be an exhausting month, and at least, I mean, exhausting time before and after, and right now is unbelievably hard to deal with. So that's what happened on Friday, and I text poor Glenn at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, yeah, not going to be there, thanks. And so,
well, you know, Jennifer was a good sport. She filled in, and she did really bad ads, and we got a couple good comments. She did her best Southern accent. Now, we determined that hers is different than yours. You have a kind of more refined Southern accent. She has the hillbilly Southern accent. So,
oh, gotcha.
Yeah, the very redneck hillbilly Southern accent, which both work, you know. Work.
Yeah, she's more redneck. I'm more good old boy. You know, it just is how it goes.
That's what it was. But she did great. Yeah, so we were practicing, you know, because who knows here in the next couple of weeks. No, it worked out fine, and I'm glad you're okay, and it's good to have you back this morning.
Thanks. It's great to be back, although I wish I was not pregnant anymore. I'm glad that everything worked out the way it's supposed to. And
that's
yes,
right.
I am still having contractions. They're just not every 6 minutes anymore. They're just about maybe twice an hour.
Yeah, because remember, you were supposed to announce, I got to go, and then be off to the hospital while on the show. You said you would that for the good of the show.
Oh, my God, my water broke.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's what we want to hear. I'm out of here.
Later.
Jennifer, what's coming up?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, we jump into the week with Diane Little of Piece by Piece Farm here with another clear round of show jumping advice and galloping into the show fresh from a win at Jersey Fresh aboard Exponential, Jessica Phoenix, and cruising through the finish flags, Wiley, the voice of Horse Nation, has a course of nonstop horse-centric hilarity back at the stable, so stay tuned for the fray.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. Jamie's up first.
Well, the Daily Winnie has to go to my husband after putting up with me for this whole entire weekend. You know, not only did this all happened on Monday or Friday morning, and they gave me this shot to sleep, and I slept all the way until about 6 p.m. Then I woke up, and I was determined to go see The Great Gatsby on opening day.
You went to a movie theater. How'd you even fit in the seat?
Oh, God. You can fit in the seats. It's just what was awful is it was just so unbelievably uncomfortable the entire time. So we actually did see The Great Gatsby. He took me. It was supposed to be date night. We have to get all this stuff done before the baby comes because you can't do all this stuff.
You won't see a movie for about 10 years. That's right. Yep,
exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. Unless you have to pay a babysitter, which at this point I think is like $90 an hour. So, we went to see The Great Gatsby, so he took me to see it. I loved it. There's a part where they introduce Leo, and Chad actually looked at me, and he was like, oh, you're just a mess, aren't you? I'm like, it's like the one part where the sweeping camera comes down, points right on Leo's face. He's giving you that little grin. There's fireworks going off behind him, and he's like, I'm Gatsby. And you're like, oh, God, he's so hot. So I'm lucky I didn't go into labor again. Just see that part of the movie.
So what'd you give it out of 6 flakes of ale?
Let's see. I would give it out of 6. Man, it changes every single time I talk.
Yeah, I do that to keep you guessing.
Okay. I don't know. We saw it in 3D because that was the only time that
did it in 3D, didn't they? Or did they do it in 2?
They did it in 2D and 3D, and apparently Chad watched most of it with his glasses off. He's like, they just had parts where, like, the fireworks, just kind of random things in 3D. So it's kind of a cheap 3D. So don't recommend it in 3D, but I thought it was 5 out of 6. I mean, I knew what to expect because I loved Robert Redford as the role of Gatsby back in the, oh, gosh, was that 70s, 80s? I don't know. It was a fantastic story, fantastic movie, and it was just very huge and well done, and Daisy's character was much better than the last one, and blah, blah, blah. It was really good.
How about Chad? What did he think?
He, you know, I can tell when when we walk out of the movie and he doesn't say anything about it, and she's like, hope you liked it.
So I was right. It's pretty much a chick flick.
Well, it just depends on if you like movies from that era. I mean, it's a movie from the 20s, you know, and it's yeah. very much the 20s lifestyle and very much an elitist movie between the rich and the newly rich and the old money and then the poor. And it's just really, it's interesting how it shows the class separation. I thought it was really good, but I liked the book. I liked the movie. So there you go.
All right. There we go. Movie review time.
Leo is worth seeing in this movie. Oh, my God. He's amazing in it.
Okay. Everybody, you need to keep in mind she's hormonal right now. So keep that in mind for the movie review. So.
And I
keep that
in mind.
It might have only been 3 flakes had she not been so hormonal. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but it's Leo, so it's fine.
Debbie Metcalf of Net Posse gets my daily Winnie today. You know, she's had some health problems recently and been fighting that. But that hasn't stopped her from being in the news and doing her good work and the good work that Net Posse does. And they've had a success story over the weekend that hit headlines all over the place, including News 9 in Charlotte. So let's take a listen to News 9 in Charlotte. This was their report about our friend Debbie Metcalf from Net Posse.
People will come into your yard and steal a dog. But who would do that with a horse because it's so big?
But that's what police say happened to one Charlotte woman. 7 horses stolen right from her pasture. All noon tonight, those horses are now back with their rightful owner. This after their story went viral. Eyewitness News reporter Catherine Bilkey spoke with the woman responsible for that.
She runs a local organization that rescues stolen horses. They send out alerts by email that include printable flyers. In this case, you can see all 7 horses, their pictures and names. Volunteers are asked to spread the word.
Oh, it's not just a horse. She's a walking miracle.
Debbie Metcalf says it's easy to steal a horse. She knows because this one, Idaho, was stolen from her more than a decade ago. Because of Idaho, she started Stolen Horse International to help people find their stolen or missing horses.
She's given closure to a lot of people.
Metcalf says because they're so big and sometimes hard to maneuver, people assume whoever is handling the horse has permission. And she says that's what happened when 7 horses were stolen from Amanda Bechtel in Winston-Salem while she was moving. Someone just picked them up in a trailer and took off.
Yeah, they get scared just like you would.
Alerts went out and tips about the horses started coming in. Investigators received the information they needed to track down the horses and return them to their owner in Charlotte.
So it's like putting together a piece of the puzzle. You know, a little piece here, a little piece there.
The horses had actually been sold and the thieves had gotten hundreds of dollars. Metcalf says with horse auctions all over the state, thieves often see a handsome reward.
Even if the market's down and they run it through a sale, they don't have to have ownership papers. All they have to do is have a horse on a lead line and walk it through.
But the horses suffer under the stress of new places and new faces.
And a horse can lose hundreds of pounds within a week just from stress.
Now, Metcalf told me that 3 of Amanda Brechtel's horses have lost a lot of weight, but they're expected to be okay. Some of them are already back here in Charlotte. The rest will be coming home over the next few weeks. Catherine Bilkey, Channel 9, Eyewitness News at 10.
So there you go. Always good news when some horses are stolen. And then through the help of new media and Net Posse, they were found again and recovered. And apparently what I heard is that the sheriff actually went out and called the owner when they were found, and they were in a field somewhere. And the sheriff actually sat there for like an hour and a half and waited for the owner to come back and did not leave, so that he was afraid that whoever stole them would be back to take him out of there. So the sheriff was good to the owner as well. So it was a good news story all the way around.
Congrats to Net Posse, man. Debbie is just amazing. She's doing some great work over there, and I'm just glad somebody got their horse back, man.
Yep, that's always good news. Well, we have a fun show planned, as Jennifer said, and we're going to have our first guest on with us here shortly. And, you know, we have a follow-up with Jessica Phoenix and all kinds of good things. We have some news stories for you, too. A little bit of controversy over at the Kentucky Horse Park we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show. And then it looks like also we'll talk about the horses are starting to round out
for the Preakness, but one of them has dropped out, and that's Normandy Invasion. Has dropped out of the Preakness and has what, they're going to take him to the Belmont? Is that what it looks like?
Well, it didn't even really say that. What it looks like is they're just going to favor him for a summer campaign. I guess, you know, when you don't win the Derby, and that's kind of what you're geared towards, is the Triple Crown, and you don't win it, you can scale back and kind of rethink things. And it seems to me like they're just going to work on having him a little bit more ready for a summer campaign, probably heading, you know, obviously with the end goal of the Breeders' Cup, which is, that seems to be the next place people want to go if they don't win,
right.
Don't win the Derby. So we'll see what happens with Normandy Invasion. I'm all for that. If you don't win and you won it, that was your goal, was to win the Derby, Preakness, and Belmont, and you don't do that, slow down, man. Slow down your horse. Don't get him hurt. Be in no hurry and do what's best for the horse, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, because 2 weeks in between races is tight for the level that they're racing at. They don't usually do that. So it is a tight period of time. I mean, Orb had done it once before, apparently, in his, from the maiden race to the second race. So, you know, Orb has done this before, but only once. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, and we'll talk a lot more about the Preakness as the week goes on. But we have our first guest on with us. She was on with us about a month ago. Her name is Diane Little, and she is from Piece by Piece Farm. And she is in the jumping business, and we thought she was such a terrific guest the first time we had her on that we would have her back on a fairly regular basis here doing some jumping tips for us. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for joining us. Now, tell us what we're talking about today.
You know, I wanted to just talk about kind of the prep work for the jumper ring. And, you know, all the things that go into making these horses fit enough and ready to really compete successfully.
Okay.
You know, I think that, you know, you think jumpering, obviously you think purely jumping, but it comes down to how important it is to kind of strengthen your horses. And when I teach my students, I focus so much on their flat work. We spend... You know, our hour lessons are probably 45 minutes flat and then the rest jumping. And I think a lot of times people kind of think, well, why? You know, how does that really kind of move over to making you successful? Well, the truth is that the horses jump the jumps. You know, they're the ones that pick themselves, lift up and over. It's our job to get them there balanced. It's our job to get them there at the correct pace. It's our job to get them there, you know, bending correctly around the turn. So I put so much emphasis on kind of learning how to flap them properly so that you can take all that knowledge and kind of put it towards these technical jumping courses.
Can you give us an example of some of the things you do to get that done? And I can understand why, especially your teenage students are going, darn, I joined jumping so I could jump. I don't want to do all this crap.
Exactly. I think sometimes it's a little shocking, but it does make a big difference. You know, we work a lot on our pace. There's kind of three paces in every gait, in that you can have a collection, a medium, an extension, and a walk, and a trot, and a canter. So we pay a lot of attention on being able to create those different paces, and also being able to kind of create them quickly, so you can go from medium to extension within one stride, back to a collection and whatnot. Because when you're in the jumper ring, things are moving quick, and you're going to have times where you need to bring them back really quick, and then times obviously where you need to move forward. So we do a lot of work on making sure that the horses are really tuned into our aids, so that when we say go, they go, or when we say whoa, they go whoa for us.
No, this has given me great ideas, actually, for things to do with my teenagers. This is going to be a great segment, because you're right. A lot of times when you're, like, coming down from a jump and you've got to make a tighter turn, you really need to be able to collect the horses and make that tighter turn and then accelerate to a jump as you're coming out of a corner. And all those different paces at the walk, trot, and canter are incredibly important. So what would you recommend, you know, say you've got a line of fences coming at coming at you, you know, how would you prepare for something like that, like more of the whole course?
Can you say that again? If I had what coming at me?
If you had, you know, you're coming in for a whole course, what are some of the most important things for flat work that you need to do to prepare for jumping a whole entire course?
Okay. Number one is what I just said. It's the pace. That's probably my biggest one, is to be able to kind of control the pace, to change it when you need to really understand what your horse's step is, so you understand, you know, when you jump into the lines, kind of where you're going to be. You know, as a jumper, we obviously get the option and to walk the courses. So, you know, that's great and all, but I think that you really need to understand your horse at the same time. You know, when you walk those courses, you need to know, okay, am I on a horse with a huge step? Am I on a horse with a small step? Because, mm-hmm. you know, you might walk a normal average four stride, but if your horse has a ginormous step, you're going to have to ride the line a lot differently than if it, you know, has a very small step. So I think it's just understanding very much kind of what your horse is underneath of you, so you can really make a good, strong plan for whatever the course may be at the horse show.
So the one thing that I have a hard time getting my students to understand is the importance of the outside rein and the outside aids. You know, I think a lot of them just pull that inside rein like a lawnmower, you know, and then the horse loses its entire outside shoulder. How do you stress to your students, hey, guys, this is just as important, or if not more important, as the inside rein and the inside leg?
We do a lot of shoulder in on the flat. I love shoulder in because I think it's one of the easiest ways to teach the students how to put the horse on the outside rein. It's also one of the easiest ways, I believe, for them to just feel what that feels like when they actually become on the outside rein. When they kind of bring that shoulder around and in, use their inside leg to kind of push them onto those three tracks, push them onto that outside rein, all of a sudden they get the feeling of what it's like to actually have them balanced on the outside rein. So I think that's when it can kind of move forward into the jumping courses. I think one of the biggest issues is all of us teachers who have felt it just keep telling them, get them on your outside rein, when they have absolutely no idea what that feels like. So they're kind of just pulling on the outside rein. So the flat work is what kind of teaches them the feeling of that true balance. And I prefer, I think shoulder in is one of the best ways of teaching that.
Cool. Got it.
Now, Diane, do you find, you know, we had this conversation on the dressage show last week. They were talking about natural ability and, you know, being and just having innate talent. And do you find that there are some of the kids that you have coming up and the teenagers, now maybe by the point they get to you, it's not an issue, but they just don't get it. They can't see the lines. They can't see the marks. They don't understand the strides, and they're never going to be a jumper. They should be doing something else.
Well, to be honest, I was kind of one of those kids. This sport never came easily to me. I never had the best eye. It always felt like, gosh, some of these kids out there, they just get it. They just see it. And I always kind of struggled with that. But when I had a trainer that really taught me kind of the basics, then really got me strong on the basics and really taught me how to understand, you know, how to kind of manipulate the horses, how to kind of engage the horses, well, then all of a sudden I realized, well, if I just learn how to kind of create a good, powerful, solid canter, if I learn how to create a good pumping hind leg on these horses, well, even if my eye isn't perfect, I've created so much power, so much energy that whether or not I get a little long, a little short, whatnot, I'm still okay. I do think it comes easier for some people than other people. But I truly believe that, you know, if you really work hard on this sport and you really kind of dedicate yourself to it and really try to try all different things and ride all different horses, I think that you can go far no matter what. I think just some people, it takes them a little bit longer to figure it all out.
Now, Jamie, how are you when it came to the jumper ring?
I was amazing from day one. Okay, seriously. I think really it just depends on the instructor that you have. I don't feel like I really had great jumper instruction until I was in my early 20s. I rode with a hunter trainer for years. I mean, that was all I had growing up. And, you know, you kind of peak at a certain height. You know, like say I showed the low hunters, which is the 3-foot hunters, all growing up, all through high school. And, you know, I think that things change when you get over 3 foot. The jumps become a little more up and you have a little more down. And you can't just get in your little hunter 2-point and kick over all of them like you would a 3-foot fence. When you start jumping bigger fences and you learn to jump bigger fences, there's a lot more involved with your upper body and with your lower leg. So I don't feel like I really started learning about jumping until I was probably in my early 20s and rode with a guy named Nick Larkin. And then just now I'm in my mid-30s and I have another coach who has just opened up a whole new world to me. So I don't think you ever quit learning. I think you just get better, you know, as you go. But you have to have an instructor that understands you and pushes you and teaches you things as opposed to says, go do that, go do that. And that's what I appreciate about you is that you're working on the flat work. You're teaching these kids the differences. It's not just hop on and jump and get off, which is what I did growing up. And so I try to do things a little bit different, too.
Yeah, agree? I mean, I think I agree with you. I didn't have this kind of instruction my whole life. And when I was with an instructor that kind of all of a sudden opened up those doors for me and taught me how to really kind of create energy and taught me really kind of how to understand the horses a little bit better, it changed everything. It changed everything about my riding. It also... It made it also a little more interesting. I think that sometimes when you're younger, you get stuck into that 3-foot mode where you can just kind of hunt around, can get away with things that maybe as they get bigger, you can't get away with anymore. I think when you start to learn how to really, really ride these courses, if you know what I mean, like sit back and ride them, it makes it really fun. It makes it really interesting.
It sure does. How's that, Glenn?
Well,
did we answer your question? We were both stucky for a long time,
well.
And we just got awesome all of a sudden.
Yeah, that was what I was trying to say, too.
Yeah.
Well, Diane, where can people learn more about you? And you have a Facebook page. It's Piece by Piece Farm, right?
Yes, Piece by Piece Farm. and then my website should be up soon. That's www.dielittle.com. We're putting that all together, so that'll be up there soon. But the Facebook page is already up there. We try to put new stuff about the farm all the time so people can read about how we're doing at the horse shows and whatnot, try to update it pretty constantly. So anybody that wants any more information can look at that. Or my phone number is 267-838-0385, and I love to get phone calls. So anybody can call.
You might have said this. Where are you located again?
Chester Springs, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
And outside
of
Philadelphia. Horse country.
Outside of Philly.
That's right. Very good. Well, thank you, Diane. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll have you back again soon.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Fantastic.
Bye.
She's great. She teaches us so much.
Well, there you go. Well, thank you so much to Diane, and we're going to take a break here for Omega Alpha Equine, and we're going to be back. Hopefully, we'll round up Jessica Phoenix on the phone here and see if we can chat with her about her big win over the weekend.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship, whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created 3 different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters, Chill Ultra Pace, with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium, and Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, Well, you can find out more about witchy mares by listening back to our episode at Horses in the Morning on May the 6th, just a couple of weeks ago, episode number 651 for Dr. Chang. Dr. Chang was on with us, and he talked about witchy mares. So if you want to learn more about that, just go back to horsesinthemorning.com and look for the episode for May the 6th. Well, now, are your students now getting going to have some time off too? Are they going to be itchy to get back at it once you get back to teaching?
Let me tell you what I've done, and this is brilliant. And I don't want to pat myself on the back too often. Yeah, right. But I've done something really smart. I have leased out most of my horses to students. So they get to ride all summer long in this dang awful 100-and-something degree heat. All my horses keep getting ridden, and I keep getting paid. So it's really brilliant, I must say.
That is a brilliant business move. Yeah, because you get income coming in, because otherwise you lose all your income.
I'm not charging them very much. The price of a lesson every week is what I'm charging them to lease the horse. And they can come and ride as much as they want. And there's a couple of them, it's going to be so good for them to be able to get on a horse more than once a week and just get out there and ride without the pressures of having to be in a group lesson and perform with other ones, or just to get on and go for a trail ride. It's going to be great for them and for the horses. So nobody's going to be too bored. Of course, my two, Edward and Jet, are not being leased out. They're just going to stand there and stare at me and be mad that I'm not doing anything with them.
So enjoy the break. And, you are coming in, actually. You're coming into your winter, so it's actually not a bad time to have a little bit of time off.
Yes. Did you say that it was freezing in Lexington yesterday?
And last night they had frost warnings, and everybody was covering their plants and stuff last night in Lexington. It was down in the low 30s. So, yeah, it's pretty chilly.
Oh, my gosh. It's supposed to be 104 here today.
There you go. That says it all. Well, I think Jessica's ready if you want to take her.
All right. Well, we've got Jessie Phoenix on the show today. Jessica Phoenix, who last time we talked was at Rolex and did not put in the best dressage test and decided, you know what, I'm going to reroute to Jersey Fresh and see how that works out for me. I know you said you had some work to do on your dressage. Clearly something clicked. Obviously you had a pretty good weekend. Talk to us. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Well, we're fantastic.
Congratulations, Jess.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
So last time we talked, you were at Rolex. The dressage didn't go well, and you said you got to talk to your coach and work a little bit with Clayton and figure out what happened with the dressage test. What did you come up with?
It's been such a great year for us with Clayton, just getting to know him and getting to see him know the horses, really. So at Rolex, we tried a different warm-up with him, and we decided that we would try another different warm-up at Jersey Fresh. So we went back to kind of like 2 15-minute warm-ups before the test, and it really seemed to work for him. So he was fantastic. He was so good in the ring and so relaxed. So I think we all feel a lot more confident going forward now.
And we didn't mention this is her horse Exponential is who we're talking about.
Yes.
Exponential. Yep.
So you go to Jersey Fresh with Exponential, a horse that, like you said when we talked to you, Rolex, just has nothing to prove in the cross country, had just bounded around London, the Olympic Games, like nothing was even in front of him. And you get to Jersey Fresh, you've put in a great dressage test. I think you were sitting in fourth after dressage. Talk us through the rest of it.
Then the cross country, they do such an incredible job at Jersey Fresh. Every year I go, the course gets better and better. There was a ton of rain, so the footing was definitely a little bit heavy, and it was also a humid day on cross country, so the horses were actually coming in a little bit tired off of the course. So having said that, Tucker was awesome on cross country. He loved the 3-star level. He was a little bit strong because I think the jumps were not as big as he's used to seeing on cross country. But it really was just a lot of fun and just a nice, confident run for him around Jersey.
And you had the fastest time. actually in your division on cross country. So he must have been a little bit strong. I think, well, let me take that back. Buck finished 1 second ahead of you on cross country.
Yep.
That's just amazing, especially after seeing the way he rides so aggressively, the way he rode a Rolex. So the two of you must have, you could have been side by side the whole time.
Yeah, for sure. It was a great competition, and Buck was sitting on a beautiful young horse. I think everyone's really excited for that horse's future. But yeah, it was really well suited to Exponential. The first part of the course was actually, we were a little bit slow on because it was more twisty-turny, and then when you got to the end of the course, it really opened up, and there were some really nice long gallop stretches. So, I mean, it was really well suited to Exponential.
So then you go into show jumping and you're sitting in second place and you've got, I don't know, he's got less than a rail. Buck is in first place. So you're sitting there, you go in, how'd your show jumping go?
Well, Exponential is an incredible show jumper. It's always really comforting going into the ring on him. We did have that one rail down. I think I just maybe opened up a little too soon with my upper body, and he just had the rail behind. He just barely touched it. But coming out of the ring, I was just thrilled with him. I thought he did a really good job all weekend long. I mean, on the whole, I think it was one of his best performances ever in his career, and I was just so happy with him. And I mean, at that point, you don't want the leader to have rails. You want everyone to do well and have good rounds. So it was, I mean, I felt for Buck when he had the two rails, but I mean, as Buck was saying, it is a pretty young horse and they're looking forward to that horse's future. So there we go.
Now you're a big professional and you're, you know, you've got ice running through your veins and all this, but let's be honest here.
Yeah, she is from Canada.
I know. And she's Canadian. So there's really ice running through her veins. I am an inventor as well, and I've been sitting in that second place. And, yes, you definitely, you know, it's not like you want other people to knock rails down, but if they did and it wasn't your fault, it'd be totally okay. Let's be real here. I mean, it's not your fault, right? There's just no sense in rooting a little bit for it. Come on.
I don't know. When I win, when I won at the Pan Ams, that was my favorite win ever because, I mean, winning from start to finish, that is the absolute best way to win. And you know that everyone's done their absolute best, and it's been just an amazing weekend. So, yeah, I did not wish that Buck had any rails. Having said that, I was really incredibly happy to have my first 3-star win on Exponential.
Yes. Well said. Yes. Well said. Yeah. No, definitely,
you know how...
start to finish is definitely the way to win because you know you did not make a mistake to tick yourself down at all. But when you're climbing,
exactly.
You're climbing and you're climbing and you're like, I'm at the top. It's got to be so fun.
It was incredible. It really was. I'm so happy for Exponential and really proud of him and everything that he's accomplished this year. And I'm just really thankful for the partnership that I have with him.
Tell us now, you had a couple horses there and did very well on another horse, came in eighth place with, is it Erodium?
Yes, Erodium. Yeah, it was his first 3-star. He definitely found the footing a little bit heavy on Saturday. And overall, I mean, wow, what a heart that horse has. He just kept going. And he went into show jumping and just tried his little heart out, and I'm really excited for that horse's future. I think we're going to try and head over to Blenheim in the fall, and then looking forward to the Wegs.
Oh, my gosh. She's going overseas.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
Let me ask, because you've got Exponential and Erodium, and I know a lot of them start with E-Y-E. What's the significance of the E names?
Well, Erodium actually came with the name Erodium. So
no,
that was just a pure coincidence. It's a precious metal that he's named after. And all of my other EX horses, my first advanced horse was named Exploring. And one of my clients said, it would be so cool if you just named all of your horses with EX. And I said, well, obviously, but I'm going to run out of EX names. And she said, no, look in the dictionary. So I looked, and there are a lot of names beginning with EX.
That's cool. So, I didn't know that's how that started. Because we've got to give you a little bit of credit, because Exponential is actually an off-the-track thoroughbred that did incredibly well on the track, actually, and raced a heck of a lot of times. Like, what, 44, 45 times?
Yeah, 44 times.
Oh, my gosh, just incredible. I've got one that ran 50 that's up and coming, and he looks so much like Exponential. I'm like, okay, come on, you can do it. If he can do
that's
it, you
awesome.
Can do it. Yeah, you give hope to all of us that have off-the-track thoroughbreds. I mean, just to see off-the-track thoroughbreds in their second career, and their second career is the Olympic Games, I mean,
absolutely.
I give you a hug for
it's
that.
It's incredible. Yeah,
it really is.
I mean, they're incredible athletes, and, I mean, I think because of their training on the track, they really have a lot of heart, and they know what it is to get to that point where they're tired, and then they learn how to push through it. So I think starting with an off-the-track thoroughbred is actually really beneficial, as long as you can get their mind in the right frame for dressage.
Well, I have one question. Jersey Fresh had a couple different 3-stars, and this is a technical question for you. So they had you came in first place in the CCI 3-star. Now, Will Faudry won the CIC 3-star. What the heck is the difference?
Okay, it's about 3 minutes on the cross-country course.
Ooh, which one's longer?
That's it?
Yep, so it's, and those 3 minutes are long.
the
CIC 3-star was 6.5 minutes long, and the CCI 3-star was 9 minutes and 47 seconds.
And you finished with Exponential in 9 minutes and 39 seconds. So well under the time. Well done. And so if you have the option, why would you pick the longer one?
The longer one actually qualifies you for the WEGs.
Oh.
So the CIC, the CIC 3-star you have to complete in order to qualify you to do a CCI 3-star.
Gotcha. So it's harder, it's tougher, and you qualify for more stuff, and that's why you did it, and you did it in fine form, my friend. Congratulations on your win.
Thank you very much.
So what's coming up? You've got Exponential going to Blenheim, and then hopefully the WEGs.
Well, Exponential is actually just going to have vacation now. He's got some well-earned vacation time. And then, we'll get him going and head him towards next year, and then Erodium and Pavarotti will be heading to Blenheim in the fall.
Wow. What a great year you're going to have coming up in next year as well. We are so proud of you. Congratulations. It worked. You made the great decision at Rolex. You took him on to Jersey Fresh instead of just pushing him through there, and it worked out for you, and I'm super proud of you. Super excited
Thank
for
you. Thank you so much, guys.
You're welcome,
Thank
Jessica.
You.
Jessica Phoenix, winner of the Jersey Fresh CCI 3-star, which is the harder one. Congratulations.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, we'll talk to you guys soon.
All right,
bye.
Bye.
That's going to be you soon. Did you hear her little boy in the background there?
Whew, man. Well, she can do it. I can do it. Sure. She's only like a superhero. Yeah, like I said, ice running through her veins. My coach did the same thing. My coach is like, you'll be fine. You'll be competing a month after. You'll be fine. I'm like, you're crazy. You are crazy.
She, we tell the story about how Jess was actually on a horse, about a week later after giving birth. And
I should have asked her about that.
We had her on, actually. I forget which show it was, but it was like a week later she was up and riding, and then she competed a month. She did a 2-star a month after she had a baby. It was just...
Get her back on the phone. Can we call her back? I want to ask her about that. I'm serious.
It was an incredibly short period of time. Yeah, it wasn't long at all. Now, she has a whole staff of grooms and things to help her.
I'm serious.
Too.
I want Jen to call. We'll play the song now. We'll get her back on the phone. I want to ask her about that. I'm serious.
All right, we'll take a break.
It's me again.
Let's take a break for our song here right after this word from Thin Line Global.
Howdy, everybody. Glenn here. We just finished a terrific series on leg protection that was brought to you by the good folks over at Thin Line Global. If you missed it, go to horsetipdaily.com and check out all four parts. They still have a fantastic coupon for Horse Radio Network listeners for 12% off your next order at thinlineglobal.com. Whether you buy their saddle pads, horse boots, or tack items, everything is 12% off with this coupon code. Just type radio in the coupon section at checkout at thinlineglobal.com.
All right.
I've always been the shy, quiet type, biding my time until the time was right. Driving through life with one foot on the brake, missed every chance that I did not take. Now I'm gonna do whatever I please, know nothing, gonna have a hold on.
That is I'm Gonna Fly by Casey Smith, and I am so sorry to harass you, Jessica Phoenix. We got her back on the line, and I had a couple questions that I thought were important. Are you there?
Absolutely. No problem.
So I am, I don't know, 15 months pregnant at this point, it feels like,
wow.
And I had to quit riding about 3 weeks ago, and I'm due in a couple weeks. I had to ask because you are, you know, a superhero to me. How did you do it? How long did you ride until, and then how long did it take for you to get back on?
Well, I actually rode until the day before I gave birth.
Jessica, we hear that story and I laugh every time.
I know. I was only walking around, but honestly, the way it moved, like the way it fit my hips on the saddle, just it was the most comfortable place I could be. So that's actually why I rode horses right up until I gave birth. And then I had a really easy labor, thank goodness. And then I was back on a horse about a week later.
Okay, hold on now. So you rode up until a week before, and you said you were just walking. So that's important for me to know. The problem is I have one that spooks. I'm like, please don't spook. Please don't spook. Please don't spook. That was the last ride I had.
Yeah, you want to be sitting on horses that you trust. And I don't know, I just found like when I was pregnant, the horses knew that I was pregnant, and they were cautious around me. And when I, like, Exponential never stands when I get on him, and he stood every single time.
Wow.
And, like, he would take baby steps. Like, they were very aware of what was going on. It's a very strange thing.
The off-attractor that I was mentioning to you that looks like Exponential, his name is Edward. I really feel like when I got pregnant and I kept riding him, he actually got a lot calmer. So I do think that somehow they know. But the fact that you rode up until a day before, okay, bravo. My coach, Barbara Crabo, said she rode in a dressage show like the day before she gave birth. Yeah, she's crazy too. But I think she even had a month off. You must have had a super easy labor. I don't know. Was your baby like 2 pounds? How did that work where you could ride a week later?
He was 7 pounds, 7 ounces. And I don't know. I mean, we had the WEGs coming up that year, and I had to get a lot done quickly. And I think I was very determined. But also, I don't know. I just bounced back quickly from it. And it was a very easy labor. I had an epidural and just had a natural labor other than that.
I remember Samantha and I having you on the air because we were following you for the WEGs and had you on all the time, and we were like, you're never going to be back in time. And she's like, yes, I will. You watch.
Don't challenge a horsewoman, Glenn. Don't challenge a horsewoman. You know better
All
than
of a
that.
Sudden, that nice Canadian all of a sudden wasn't so nice anymore. It's like, yes, I will.
Oh, wait a minute.
Girl, I get it. Man. I get it. I went into false labor on Friday, and this is about 3.5 weeks before my due date. And I said to my husband, I was like, oh, my God, I might be able to get back by the Coconino horse trials in July. He's like, shut up. I'm like, a month early would be great.
Absolutely. I think we all hope for that.
Okay, now, let me ask you a question, Jessica. I'm going to ask this before Jamie. How was your husband through this whole thing? Was he pissed that you were riding all the way up to the end and then getting on quickly, or was he, like, you totally understanding and unbelievable?
No, Joel is a pretty remarkable man. I mean, he always was saying, like, do you think it's safe? Are you safe? Do you feel safe? Don't get on any unsafe horses. But other than that, he was very supportive of everything.
Okay.
Love
him. There you go.
Yeah. Love him. See?
Yeah. Yep, we have to love those supportive husbands, that's for sure.
I know. My husband was great up until like 2 weeks ago, and he's like, okay, we're done.
That's
here.
Enough.
Okay, I will let you go, Jessica. Thank you so much. I had to pick your brain a little bit, being that, you know, there are not many horsewomen that have had kids, and so when you find one, you gotta ask all the questions.
Absolutely. No problem.
All right,
thanks,
go get on that horse. I know you got one tacked up and waiting. So thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
So jealous. Bye.
She's a sweetheart. You know how they did the stereotype of Canadians being nice? Well, Jessica is the poster child for that.
She's so nice. And the fact that she's like about to get on the horse and is like, okay, I'll take her call one more time. It's like, so nice.
Yeah,
awesome.
She's a good, She's good. She's very good at that. Well, let's do a couple news stories while we're waiting for Leslie from Horse Nation here. One of the news stories is about High Hope Steeplechase. Now, I know you've probably been to that when you lived in Lexington. It's a Lexington institution. It happens every May, and it was scheduled to happen May 19th. And it usually draws about 10,000 people to the Kentucky Horse Park. It's a big party and a steeplechase. They have a steeplechase, but mostly it's a big party. And people line up that steeplechase, and there's tailgating all the way around it. There are just 10,000 people there. I mean, there's a lot of people there. Well, they had to cancel it a couple of years ago because of the WEG. They couldn't do it right before the WEG because of trashing that they were really working on the grounds and making sure the grounds were right for WEG. So they didn't have it that year. Well, this year it's been canceled, and apparently there was a little bit of controversy. Have you been reading about that?
No.
Well, the High Hope Steeplechase people, which is run by a committee, decided apparently a couple months ago not to do the steeplechase, claiming that the grounds were not in good enough shape to do the steeplechase. Well, from what I read in the Kentucky newspaper, John Nicholson, who we've had on this show and has co-hosted the show before, who is the executive director of the Kentucky Horse Park, said nobody told him that they did, that the steeplechase people did not come back to him and say that the grounds were not. So he only heard about this, apparently, from what I understand, last week. And he did not participate in the decisions to cancel the steeplechase. And then what they were going to do is they were going to have flat racing because they were claiming the steeplechase, you know, wasn't in good enough shape. And they couldn't get enough horses to come down, mostly from Maryland area, to do just flat racing. So they ended up canceling the whole thing 1 week before the event. They have now canceled the whole thing, and apparently it did not make the horse park very happy, and there's just all kinds of – they're going to have a meeting this week to discuss it. So.
Well, you know, I kind of have two opinions. There's the steeplechase in Atlanta, and I went one time, and after seeing three horses break down in the first three races, I had to leave. I couldn't – because the problem with their place is their grounds are – not steeplechase courses all year round, only once a year. And they didn't have it prepared enough. And it was breaking horses down, and it was absolutely devastating to watch. And I just thought, if anybody else is, don't enter your horses, like pull everybody. And so maybe that's a little bit of the concern that they have, because, you know, that High Hope steeplechase course is where all the people that walk around for Rolex walk. They walk on that course constantly. Maybe it's compact. Maybe it's not good. Maybe they're doing it for the best of the horses. And if that's the case, then I applaud them. I'm sorry that nobody told John Nicholson, and maybe they could have done something about it. But that's kind of what we have to deal with, unfortunately.
Yeah, steeplechasing is one of those that causes a divide even in the horse community because, you know, I don't care how good your course is. You know, horses are – you half the horses at any steeplechase, it seems like, are coming back without riders. So,
right.
You know, and the horses keep going. It's amazing how the horses just keep going without the riders. But that has always caused trouble. One of the most beautiful steeplechase courses I've ever seen is up in Maryland at Fair Hill. It's just, you know, well manicured and just, it seems like a perfect place to have a steeplechase. But in England, you know, as we hear about a lot on our Wednesday segment, the European Report, you know, it's a big deal over there. They have a ton of steeplechases. We're over here.
But that's what they
of,
do.
You know, they
do that in these locations all the time. So their courses are ready and groomed. And I just was never able to support the Atlanta steeplechase again after that. But, you know, have most of the people that go to steeplechases, they're not horse people. They're drunk in the infield and they're having a good time. They're
that's right. That's what steeplechases are for. Party. It's a big party.
I was a worried, sick mess. I was like, oh, my God, coming around that far turn is dangerous. I'm like, pull up.
As a matter of fact, it's sort of like professional wrestling. You know, people go to watch the carnage, and that's pretty much what happened here because they're not horse people. You're absolutely right.
Is there actual carnage in professional wrestling?
No, not really. That's why people go. Maybe NASCAR would have been a better analogy. Probably NASCAR. Because let's face it, a 500-mile race for 4 hours without one accident is kind of boring.
Yes, it's kind of boring anyway.
Yeah.
I've got right, a new story, but I need Leslie's help. I got to tell Leslie about this new story. Yes.
All right, well, we have Leslie here. Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation joins us every Monday at this time with a little report of the best of Horse Nation. But first, Jamie's got a new story apparently Leslie has to help with. Good morning, Leslie.
Leslie, good morning.
Hey, guys.
I've got breaking news. Maybe you've already posted it. But this is something that is incredibly important. Now, you and I are married women. And we have to stay away from this because I'm sure that if me at 9 months pregnant showed up and you as a married woman, it, all bets would be off and we'd be swept away by these men. But on Wednesday in Greenwich, Connecticut, Prince Harry is going to be playing polo for charity. Okay, Prince Harry, who's single, he's like the next, you know, he's like the prince. And he is going to be the captain of his team. It's the Centenval Royal Salute Polo Cup. And that is, he does it for his charity for underprivileged children. Now, the captain of the other team's name is the St. Regis Polo Team. They will be captained by none other than Nacho Figueres, the face of polo. That was my boyfriend. Thank you very much.
Your boyfriend. We can share. No worries.
Okay.
More
for
Nacho.
Yeah, we've got Prince Harry on one team and Nacho Figueroa on the other team. I'm sorry. All the single ladies need to be up in Greenwich, Connecticut on Wednesday. I'm just telling you.
This is a real conundrum. Who do we cheer for?
I cheer for the one who winks at me and hands me a polo stick or something. I don't know. I mean, because I'm a looker right now, and I just attract them all.
Yeah, you know what would be great is if they would make them play shirtless. Like, I think that could take it to the next level.
Nothing
you know,
there.
Guys, shirts and skins. Wait, hold on. Skins and skins. That would be genius. I bet if you want Prince Harry, let me give you a little piece of advice. I'm sure he's listening. If you want to make some real money for your charity, shirtless polo. That's all I'm saying.
Strip polo. Every time you like miss a goal, you have to lose an article of clothing.
God,
why don't they put us in charge of this stuff, Jamie?
I know. We'd be dangerous together. That's why we're on opposite sides of the country, Leslie. It would
That's
be
right.
bad. So there you go. All the single ladies. All single ladies. Go to Greenwich, Connecticut on Wednesday. You will see Prince Harry, who I believe is single. I mean, he's not married, so I mean, he's single. And then Nacho, who is, I believe, single as well, who's the face of polo, like cologne. There you go. Girl.
I see a post coming up here on Horse Nation. I see a post today on Horse Nation. I swear we give her more good ideas.
You do. That.
Well, tell us about what is going on in Horse Nation.
Oh, the usual madness. Let's see. I was looking back on some of my favorite posts of last week, and one of them was, so periodically I'll check Etsy, which is kind of a marketplace for homemade, you know, like crafty stuff and homemade stuff. People, like, make their stuff and then they can sell it through Etsy. I think I described it as Etsy.com is a wonderland for amazing equine-themed craft that no ordinary tax store has the guts to sell.
Yeah, you're right, because Etsy is where a girl at my baby shower found two things. One is a pacifier, but on top of the pacifier, it has a mustache on it, so it looks like your baby has a mustache, and she bought that on Etsy. And the other one was one of those burp rags, you know, that you put around the baby's neck, and it says on it, "These fools put my cape on backwards."
That's pretty good.
Wow.
All Etsy, yeah. Baby. All Etsy.
Only Etsy. So every now and again, I'll look on Etsy and see what kind of interesting stuff they've got for sale for horse people. horse theme stuff, and oh boy, did I come up with some gold last week. I think my favorite item might have been, it's a unicorn horn brow band attachment. There are these custom unicorn horns that actually sort of clip or strap onto your brow band, and they will make it in whatever color you want. And, you know, they're pretty, for unicorn horns, I think they're pretty realistic.
As far as unicorn horns go.
Yes. Yeah, they do, actually. Yeah. They kind of do look realistic. I agree. Yeah.
And I just think it would be really cool. I might actually use this idea myself to get one, maybe in your cross country colors, attach it to your brow band, and then just incorporate that into your cross country. I mean, how cool would that be if you're like galloping cross country on a unicorn?
I always ride cross country on a unicorn. Thank you very much.
You don't need no horn.
I don't need no horn. He's a unicorn to me. No, those are actually pretty real looking. I couldn't find it on Horse Nation. Is it on the first page or is it the second page?
There's a link in our show notes there, Jamie.
Well, yes, I know that, but the listeners don't.
It's, let's see. I think it might be a page back.
Okay, got it. Yeah, it's not on the first page. So you have to go to the second page.
So many posts.
And you can always run a search on the site, too. You can just put in Etsy and search.
Just search unicorn. You'll probably find it.
Unicorn. And that was only the beginning of things that I found. There's horse jewelry. There are, sequined horse ankle bracelets. Equine necklaces and mane bangles and matching human jewelry. I mean,
gorgeous.
I think one of the most disturbing for me was the yellow horse print leggings. They were kind of disturbing.
Those are my favorite. And I cheered them. So there's these, just to paint a picture for listeners, there are these yellow horse leggings. They have their yellow leggings that have a horse print, like kind of a rearing horse print all over them. And I found the perfect shirt to go with them. It's a personalized airbrush horse t-shirt, which I think would be super cute with, you know, you could put your horse's name on it and it has like sparkles and a rearing horse. And I think that if you wore those two things together, it would be amazing.
Well, that's what you would want to wear in front of Prince Harry, is what you're saying.
Yeah, if I was going to that polo match and I wanted to get some attention, I would definitely wear those.
This is Greenwich, Connecticut. You're not even going to be allowed to walk in there wearing that.
I would not be allowed in Connecticut with that.
No, you're not going to be allowed in Greenwich, that's for sure.
Now, nothing says class to me, Leslie, like a good old-fashioned airbrush t-shirt. I mean, come on. That's classy.
Right. I know. It's classy.
You know, if you went on spring break down to Panama City Beach and you did not come home with an airbrush t-shirt, you didn't live. You weren't even there.
I agree. I agree.
Sure. Myrtle Beach, same way.
Really?
Hey, I got another one I want to talk to you about. Another one of your articles, and it wasn't one of the ones you sent me, so I apologize. But it was 13 examples of seriously inappropriate riding footwear. where do you find these pictures? Oh my God!
You know, the interweb is a crazy, crazy wilderness for random. Yeah, you know, I love horse. Equine or like equestrian fashion shoots, because you know you've got these models that are done up to a T and clearly like all this thought has been put into what they're wearing, and then also it's evident that somebody's like, we need a horse, it doesn't matter what horse, it doesn't, you know, and so the horse is always seems to be like this sort of weird afterthought with random tack, or we've got some pictures of it's like quarter horses dressed, quarter like kind of trail horse looking horses dressed up as race horses and ill-fitting T pack and
I love before you go on. They have a palomino, a fat palomino with a jockey on top. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and if you look at the, just my favorite part is to look at the expressions on all of these horses' faces. Like clearly they're just either asleep or just bewildered at what is going on. Like, not, in not one photo is the horse's ears pricked forward or, you know, the, it, some of them they even kind of look drugged, you know, which maybe they need to be with a model and spiked platform heels crawling all over them. Drugging is probably the way to go.
You know, I find it amazing that even with these stiletto heels, most of the women can put their feet in the stirrups.
Yeah, that's...
They don't need spurs. They can just use their points. Yeah.
Oh, my God. There's one of some poor woman that looks... She's, like, laying back in the English saddle, and her feet are, like, over the shoulder, and she just... I'm sorry, I've leaned back, you know, like when you do this exercise, reach back and touch the tail. Like, it hurts your lower back because of the cantle of the saddle. There's one poor model who's like leaning back and it clearly hurts. She clearly looks uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I do love the racehorses being a fat palomino. That's pretty good.
That is hilarious. And the girl's naked, too. That's what you like, really. Don't be on.
Yeah,
don't,
I need to post
lie.
Those
yeah.
over at my Facebook page there. Need to definitely do that. Don't be doing that right after the show. Well, now, Dale Earnhardt's youngest, I had heard this, that Dale Earnhardt's youngest daughter is, her name's Taylor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That she's a barrel racer, isn't she?
Yeah. This was news to me. I guess she's 24 years old, and I saw a story on Yahoo Sports about it, and it says she started riding when she was three, and then sort of became more serious about it as a way to cope with her father's death, and you know, Dale Earnhardt. Died in an accident, right, at the Daytona 500. I should know these things. I live in Tennessee.
Correct.
But I think I guess she has a need for speed just like her father, because she took up barrel racing, and now she's sounds like she's pretty serious about it, on the road every weekend. She's married to her husband is also a rodeo competitor. And just travels around doing the rail racing circuit. So I thought that was really interesting.
Okay, new challenge, yeah. Jennifer. See if you can get Taylor on. See if you can get Taylor Earnhardt on the show.
We've been
stalking celebrities and haven't had much luck. So we'll try Taylor, see if we can get her on.
Yeah, that
she seems
be,
like
that
less
fun.
Of a celebrity. You know, for some reason Carrie Underwood still won't come on. But
oh.
You know. Get her to come.
That's because there's a restraining order, Glenn. And the restraining order clearly states you are not allowed to talk to her.
Before we let you go, Leslie, do you have a couple minutes? Because I have a couple other things I want to talk to you both about.
Sure.
All right, here we go. So recently, or every year, there's an organization that I'll remain nameless right now that puts out the list of the 10 most redneck cities. And now they use different criteria for what is a redneck city, and it, you know, it involves a whole bunch of different criteria. But basically, it's how many didn't complete high school, the number of guns and ammunition stores, the number of taxidermists, the number of cowboy boot stores, country radio stations, NASCAR racetracks, Walmart, the number of Walmarts per capita. So those kinds of things. All right, so now I have to go through with you both the top 10 list of the most redneck cities. And number 10 is Mesa, Arizona. Now, how far is Mesa from you?
Mesa is about an hour from me. It's on the east side of Phoenix. That's redneck? Why? Because, I don't know. What do they say?
All this different criteria, and I guess it has a lot of cowboy boot stores and taxidermists and guns and ammo stores and, you know, those kinds of things. Probably a lot of the really bad ads we see out of Arizona come from that area, I would assume.
Yeah.
Cleveland, Ohio, which I was really surprised. I didn't expect that.
Oh, God, I lived there. That place is awful. I mean, awful. I made it about a year there, and I was like, oh, no, I'm getting out of here as fast as I can. It was awful.
Well, they do have the Quarter Horse Congress is in Cleveland, so maybe that's a lot of red.
Columbus.
Columbus, that's right. Okay. Sacramento, California is number 8. So there must be a lot of cowboy redneck stuff in Sacramento. Number 7 is Arlington, Texas. You expect Texas to show up here. Number six, Fort Worth, Texas. Kind of expect Fort Worth, Texas. And Tulsa, Oklahoma. They have huge rodeos in Tulsa, Oklahoma, so I can see that. And then right down the street from old Leslie is Nashville, Tennessee.
Woo-hoo!
I always think of Nashville as kind of a classy place, but I think that they...
Classy redneck. Now, 3 is Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. 2 is Kansas City, Missouri. And what do you guys guess is the number 1 redneck city in the United States this year?
It's got to be in Georgia.
Ding, 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 ding. Where in Georgia?
Well, let's see. You've got Statesboro, Jonesboro. You've got Griffin. You've got...
No. Think of your hometown, Jamie.
No, not Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia, number 1 redneck city.
Woohoo! How can it be
a redneck
on
the show?
And also be like the home of hip hop, okay? Like, seriously? It can't be both.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know.
So, 2 out of these 10, Jamie has lived in. That's just saying.
And one's
not
too far.
Is that one of the criteria?
Yeah.
All right, so I got another story for you. You guys may have seen this one. This is out of England. This guy decided that he wanted to have a unusual proposal to get engaged. So he took, it's been a long time since he rode horses, so he took 6 months of riding lessons to prepare because he wanted to rent a suit of armor and come up riding up to her in a suit of armor and be the knight in shining armor who gets down on his knee and proposes. Well, he did all that. He found the white horse, and he got the suit of armor, and he practiced, he said, with the suit of armor because it wasn't easy to get a – it's 80 – suits of armor weigh 80 pounds, and this one looks like a real suit of armor. Mm-hmm. So he practiced and practiced. Well, the day came, and apparently they got her out to a field somehow, and he comes riding up on the white horse and goes to get off and falls and lands flat on his back. Apparently it was not graceful in any way, shape, or form. Now, he was okay, and he managed to get up and propose. But he said, you know, I kept trying to practice with the suit of armor, and I did keep falling off. So, you know, this is a guy who's really determined to keep with that to make this happen. So he got almost there.
Did she say yes?
She said yes, by the way. How would if you said no after he went through all of that,
you'd be
smart.
Yeah, that'd be cruel.
Yeah, but it's better than marrying a guy that's a loser.
What, Chad can ride up on a suit of armor?
No, but his is pretty darn good, so.
He didn't fly over.
Propose?
Did he fly an F-16 pulling one of those banners? Will you marry me?
Yeah, no. That is awesome. How did your husband propose, Leslie?
It was pretty classic. We went downtown and had a nice dinner, and then he proposed to me out on the square in the middle of downtown. And it was super sweet. But very urban. One of the best proposal stories was from my sister who her husband and then boyfriend had someone from the barn call her out to the barn to say that her horse was lame. And so she kind of panicked and went out to the barn.
Geez.
And he was there waiting at the gate of the horse's field, and proposed to her there. But I would have been mad. I would have been angry. I'd be like, you call me out here and tell me what I'm doing. It's not.
Yeah,
I don't know
that that one would fly with a lot of women. Oh, that was a tough one.
You know, my friend's husband did the ultimate eventer chick's proposal, to where he was at the finish line of her first training with her young thoroughbred. She completed a first training cross country, and he had people standing there with the sign, "Will you marry me?" as she was crossing the finish line, and there he was with a ring at the end.
Well, then that's good.
Oh, it was awesome, except for the fact, like, what if she had, like, not finished?
Yeah.
What if she had had a run out, refusal, and she'd have done the walk of shame back to the barn and would have missed the whole darn thing? So, gutsy move.
Yeah, in that case, you really have to have a plan B.
Right.
Glenn, did you propose in a horsey way, or you proposed, I think, in your King Arthur way, didn't you?
No, actually, I took Jennifer on a surprise trip. She didn't know where we were going, and because we're history buffs, we ended up going to Williamsburg, and I proposed at Williamsburg. I had my company that I worked for all in on it, and I said that we had won a trip. It was her first airline flight. She had never been on an airplane, and I made it up like we won this trip, and we had to stop at the office, and we had a packet all made up, and she really thought that we had won this trip from the company I worked for, because they used to give away a lot of trips. And so I proposed at Williamsburg. So that's how
nice.
That went. I actually put a lot of time and effort into it. And I had her fooled. I had you fooled, didn't I, Jennifer? I had you fooled. You had no idea.
Oh, I have gullible written right across my forehead.
Aww.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be surprised. I was surprised, too, and I knew it was going to happen, but I didn't know when, and it was to the point where I was like, this is never going to happen, and then, boom, that's when he pops a question. So, you know, you got to be patient, I guess. And maybe one of our loyal listeners will let us know how Prince Harry or Nacho proposes after she meets him on Wednesday in Greenwich, Connecticut at the polo matches. So let us know.
I'm looking at some of the comments coming in here about Leo, and not everybody's a lover.
Really? Oh, I got to check. Yeah. We posted a picture of Leo from The Great Gatsby, and, oh, he's so dreamy in that movie. It's not even funny.
LA says, nah, not so much. And then Tanya says, sorry, he's no Robert Redford. And, boy, you're not getting a whole lot of support on this.
Oh, my goodness.
More for me. Whatever. We've discussed the fact, like, Chad and I were walking around before the movie, and I'm like, okay, we're going to go. And he's like, are you okay? And I said, hun, you only get one chance at a first impression. If you ever get the chance to meet somebody like Leo, it's only going to happen once. And I clearly failed epically when I had that chance in front of me. So it's like I just watch and I go, oh, he's so nice. But I just realized that, you know, it could have been me, but it wasn't, because I acted like a complete doofus. So it wasn't meant to be. Do you remember, did I ever tell you that story, Leslie?
No.
Oh, my gosh. This is my most embarrassing moment of all time. I'm at the Screen Actors Guild Awards, and Leo was there with Dijamon Hinsu for Blood Diamond, and they were nominated. And, you know, I'm on the red carpet, and when you're on the red carpet, you're dressed in your gown and your hair is going to, never in your life are you going to look better than you do when you've gotten all dressed up, spray tan, makeup, hair done, everything for a red carpet. And I never got to talk to him on the red carpet, but during the show, the press got to sit like in the back tables. But there was a girl at my table who was like, listen, in between every commercial break, get up and run down to the bar and act like you're getting a drink, because all the celebrities come up to the bar and get a drink in between the commercials.
It's like a stalker science.
Oh, God, we could not have stalked people anymore, and I wanted to see Leo. Oh, Leo. So I'm standing there. I'm up at the bar, and I'm just, like, casually standing there talking to this girl, and she, like, kind of elbows me because she knows I'm waiting on Leo, and he is standing right next to me.
Oh, my God.
And
my
his elbows are on the bar, and he's leaning over like he's about to order a drink. And I'm like, okay, this is it. You know, like, you prepare for this. I'm sweating. I'm like, okay, I've got 1 second. And I turned to Leo, and by the way, he's a lot taller than you think, and I'm in high heels. And I turn and I look at Leo, and I look up at him, and he turns and he looks at me into my eyes, and we're elbow to elbow at the bar, and I was like, I just, like, I don't know.
Get all over him.
Came out of my mouth, but I actually spit on Leonardo DiCaprio.
No!
At that point, my elbow, like, slipped off the bar, so I'm like, oh! Like, my face almost hit, chin almost hits the bar.
Oh,
I am, like, standing there. And he looks at me, he grabs his drink, and he walks off. And I still think to this day that he must be like, that is so nice of the SAG Awards to let, like, little special people in to see the show. And what was really awful is his co-star, Bijuman Hinsu, is standing right behind him. And I'm like, oh my God, my friend is like, she is mortified for me. I've just spit on Leo. I almost fell down. My heel twisted.
No.
I turn around and Bijuman Hinsu looks at me and he just shakes his head. I can't stand it. And I'll never forget that moment. When that one moment where you can be cool or you can be an idiot. I epically failed. It was the biggest idiot. I was like a little special kid. And now I just look at Leo and I go, what could have been? Ah, could have been. But
what could it could have been, yeah. Yeah, it probably couldn't have been, you know.
Leslie, I love you. Always the pragmatist. Yeah, good. It wasn't going to. That makes her feel better. You didn't have a chance anyway. So don't worry about it. Right.
I think at that point, he's dating some 7-foot-tall supermodel blonde. So I could have picked her in the knee or shin or something and stolen him. It might have happened. You never know.
That's true.
Thank you, Leslie.
With Leo at a bar.
Horsenation.com. We have to go. We have to end the show. Thank you, Leslie. Horsenation.com. Thanks. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay. We'll see you next week.
All right,
enjoy
bye.
My pain. Enjoy it.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. Don't forget, you can listen to all of the back episodes of Horses in the Morning at horsesinthemorning.com. And don't forget, Wednesday is Wheel of Trivia. You want to give us a call for all the great prizes on Wheel of Trivia? Maybe we'll hear some new people this week. We always love to hear from our listeners, and we know there's lots of you out there. So please do give us a call on Wednesday. And what else? So all the other shows can be found on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Now, we did test on Friday. It looks like the new player that is at Horses in the Morning that you'll find there for listening live is working, and also it brings up past episodes. So the player is working pretty well. You can now listen on any smartphone. Just go to Horses in the Morning and click the Listen Live button there. So it works pretty well.
Well, good. Everybody have a great day. Go ride your horse because I can't. And spay, neuter, and geld.
All right. Hang in there, Jamie.
I'm sweaty right now just retelling that story. Horribly embarrassed.